who is going to stop this? How is this going to change? It's one of those questions that remain open. And who is going to listen to Mama Youssef and do something about it? Just as well, people like Izzy Brown makes the effort to go over there and raise awareness about the situation. So I guess something I'd like to ask Izzy is how easy it is to approach local population and talk about it. How happy are they to talk about it? Is it a difficult topic for them to talk about, or are they happy to talk to foreigners? And
I think people have gotten to a certain point where, yes, it is dangerous for them to talk to foreigners. It puts their lives at risk. But before I interviewed people, I said, are you prepared? Do you feel comfortable with the interview? Do you feel like your life will be in danger? And the main comment I got from people was like, our lives are already in danger. We've lost so much already. We're prepared to speak and speak out about what's happening before we lose everything. So I found that quite intense, especially coming back with all this video footage. How should I use it? How would I feel if that person then, was attacked by the military because I put it on YouTube, or all that kind of thing really, went over and over in my mind. But yeah, the main message from people was, yes, we want our stories to be told. Yes, please, And I sat at a house, and all day and all night people came to me with their stories, wanting to be interviewed and wanting to share their experiences. And even though it was a great risk to themselves, wanting the world to know what was happening there. So, yeah.
It is indeed a great risk because, for instance, Mama Youssefa, among many other things, she was arrested, tortured, and interrogated for 6 weeks in the 90s for allegedly giving food to Papuan fighters. So the authorities are looking for excuses to actively repress anyone who is trying to do something about the situation. Is there any questions for Izzy?
Izzy, how long ago was that made, and have you heard of any changes or responses on the ground since then?
Yeah, so that was made at the start of 2014, and since then we decided to focus the last Freedom Flotilla actions on what was happening in Freeport and try and raise some awareness that way. On the ground in Tomika, there's been a lot of civil unrest, there's been big protests, big demonstrations for referendums. The military crackdown has been harsh. There's been quite a few people killed there just before December 1st during the independence rallies. There was also, I think, 12 students shot about a couple of months ago at rallies. So the people's movement there is very strong, and they are taking to the streets and they are taking a stand, but they're being faced with military repression constantly. And when I was there, I remember the papers saying gunfire between rebel groups and blah, 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 two Indonesian soldiers shot and this kind of stuff in the paper. But it was all written with a very, pro-Indonesian slant, and it was very hard in Papua to get information, especially because all the internet cafes are owned by Indonesians, there's very no access to media at all except what the Indonesians are producing. So to actually find out what's going on inside Papua while you're there was very difficult. It's actually easier to come back here and look at be able to access internet and find out what was happening on the ground over there. But there is a lot of information about what's happening in Tomika online, and you can follow the developments. But yeah, the military, I think they're being, is it 3 million or 3 billion a year from mining subsidies goes to the Indonesian military, and part of their thing, I guess, to show that they need money for security is to have fights with rebel forces. So a lot of that stuff is staged. They'll go in and burn villages and kill people and call them rebels and ask for a pay rise. So yeah, it's really nasty business.
Thank you very much, Izzy.